Ordinarily, I reserve my Friday fronts for commenting on journalism that I found impressive, but there are a few subjects about which I feel generally forestalled from commentary. Afro-American views of racism and its fallout lie, I believe, beyond my second guessing. This week, however, I came across something that inspired a lot of what you might call sidelights. In his column on Tuesday, Tough, Sad, and Smart, Bob Herbert hails the teamwork of celebrity comedian Bill Cosby and Harvard psychiatrist Alvid Poussin, whose new book, Come On, People, On the Path from Victims to Victors, Mr. Herbert calls a cri de coeur against the forces of self-sabotage. There is a refusal throughout Mr. Herbert's column that apparently corresponds to a similar refusal in Come On, People, a refusal to blame the world that whites have made for blacks. Although I understand the importance of this forceful elision to the goals that Mr. Herbert is holding up for admiration, it makes for an almost embarrassing silence, or it ought to do so, for any white reader. While Mr. Cosby and Professor Poussin scold young black men for failing as fathers, I can only fixate on the bleak horizons, so close to hand that one might as well not get up to try to reach them, that mark the worlds of those young black men who, in their turn, have grown up without fathers. There may be many things that the black community might do to push these horizons toward more distant and enriched hopes, but there are plenty of things that the American community can do at large to help, or at least to stop making things so unnecessarily difficult. At the top of my list of proposals for change is the development of a legal structure that imprisons only those who have inflicted grievous bodily harm. Waving a gun in a threatening way or resisting an officer doesn't cut it. Shows of anger and impatience are understandable and ought not to lead to incarceration. Metropolitan police forces in particular ought to be better trained and better paid, with longer probationary periods for fledgling cops and a more rigorous pairing of inexperienced officers with seasoned veterans. The radical overhaul of our drug laws follows from this proposition. Indeed, it is my conviction that Americans have responded to news of torture at Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib with outrage so neutered that it has no political consequences whatever, because they're already degraded by a jurisprudence of routine imprisonment for petty offenses. Indeed, a system of justice in which a jail sentence is the default punishment is on its face unworthy of an advanced society. Aside from a minuscule handful of executives whose companies provide outsourced detention facilities, prisons make things worse for everyone, prisoners, warders, and neighbors alike. Prosecutors must be made legally responsible and politically accountable for successful rehabilitation. It's not enough for them to rate themselves on their effectiveness at putting people away. Correspondingly, legislators ought to lead the way in nurturing job growth by creating extra military training programs that teach useful and not undignified skills. They ought also to guard against business consolidations designed to improve profitability, principally by payroll reductions. Lawmakers will have to teach businessmen, the hard way if necessary, that as beneficiaries of a public social structure that protects property rights and largely subsidizes the infrastructure without which most enterprises cannot function, have a positive obligation to provide as many jobs as are consistent with earning a socially agreed upon rate of return on their investments. Yes, this is socialism. Socialism with a brain. Publicly assisted housing must be reconceived to assure that beneficiaries are not only safe in their homes, but respected as good neighbors. Keeping public housing in tip-top shape sounds like an ideal punishment for nonviolent criminals. Make a convict personally responsible for everything from plumbing to landscaping just might rechannel an otherwise antisocial aggressiveness. Finally, even if it takes another civil war, this country has got to get rid of the National Rifle Association as it is currently constituted. The guns have got to go away. Mr. Herbert's final words apply to fearful, lazy, or entitled white Americans just as forcefully as they do to young black men. Hard times and rough circumstances are not excuses for degrading others or allowing oneself to be degraded. In fact, they're not excuses for anything except to try harder.